Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is from our gospel reading. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, St. Luke, the writer of our text this morning, was not an apostle. Instead, he is called an evangelist. Unlike Matthew and John, he is not an eyewitness of the things that he wrote about in his gospel. Instead, he tells us that his gospel is based on a thorough investigation of the facts surrounding the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It is based on interviews with people who were eyewitnesses of the things that Jesus said and did. And according to church tradition, one of the very prominent eyewitnesses that Luke got a lot of his information from was Mary, the mother of our Lord. And that's why, out of all the gospel writers, it's Luke who gives us the most vivid and detailed information about the birth of Jesus. And it's also why St. Luke is the only gospel writer who gives us this story in today's gospel reading. The only information that we have about Jesus' childhood after his infancy. This story can be traced all the way back to Mary. And it's just the kind of story that we would expect that Mary would never forget. For it's a story of a time when Joseph and her lost Jesus. When they actually lost the Son of God. And that's the kind of story that a mother would never forget. And if you listen carefully, you can almost hear Mary's voice in the background saying, "We should have known. We should have known that where we could find Jesus. We should have known that he would be in his Father's house." And dear friends, you and I should know also. And that's what we want to think about this morning on the basis of our text. Things that we should know about Jesus. Now, we really are indebted to St. Luke for preserving this account of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. It's only a few verses long, but we learn a lot from those few verses. For instance, we could apply this text to our lives by focusing on Jesus' knowledge of the Bible during his discussion with the teachers in the temple, and suggest that this tells us that we should be about the business of studying and learning God's word. Probably most of you have heard this text used to encourage you to grow in your study of God's word, and the text certainly makes that application. In fact, that's a very good application for the new year, to encourage us as we make our resolutions to resolve that we will be engaged in the study of God's word throughout the new year. Or we could apply it to the truth that Jesus remained in willing submission to his parents and thus kept the fourth commandment. And has set an example for us to also submit ourselves to God's commandments. Or in the last verse in our gospel, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is very instructive concerning Jesus' early years. Very instructive to us, for it shows us that along with God being, or with Jesus being true God, he is also true man, whose childhood was a lot like ours. But the most important lesson in this short account of Jesus' childhood is found in the words that Jesus speaks, which, by the way, are the very first recorded words that we have from Jesus. They come in response to a question that Mary asks him. She asks, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress, with great anxiety." And then we have the words of Jesus. "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" What Jesus says here is really quite remarkable when you think about it carefully. For in these first recorded words of Jesus, he is already claiming to be God. When the 12-year-old Jesus says, "My Father's house," he is obviously not talking about Joseph, but he is speaking about God. He is already fully aware that he is the Son of God. And this is something totally new among the Jewish people. No Hebrew had ever spoken that way before. Not Abraham, not any of the Old Testament people. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament does speak about the fatherhood of God, and there are a few places in the Old Testament where God is addressed as our Father, the Father of the Jewish people. But until this time in our text, no one had ever dared to address God as my Father. Not Abraham, or Moses, or David. But here, Jesus addresses God as his Father. And he would continue to address God that way for the rest of his life. He would even pray from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was only 12 years old when he spoke these words. And yet, he was right. His parents should have known. They should have realized that their son, though a dutiful son and a very normal son in so many ways, was also the Son of God. They should have realized where they could find him. Jesus' interest in religion didn't just spring up during this visit to Jerusalem. Certainly, they also had been amazed at Jesus' understanding of God's word already back in Nazareth. They should have known. And you and I should know too. You and I should always keep in mind just who Jesus is. He is God, God Almighty, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is God. He is the God who created us and everything that we see around us. He is the same God to whom we will one day be accountable. As we confess together in the creed, Jesus, the same Jesus we see debating with the teachers in the temple, will one day come again to judge the living and the dead. But here is the great mystery in our text. We are told that this God, our Creator, went back to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph and was submissive to them. God makes himself submissive to his own creatures. Who could fathom such a mystery? And yet, it is right there in that submissiveness of Jesus that you and I find our hope of salvation. You and I struggle with submission. We don't like submitting ourselves to the authority of parents or teachers or bosses or the government. We would much rather be our own person. We would much rather, but Jesus is not found in any of those places. But you do not know that I had to be in my Father's house. Jesus says in our text, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, he says. Jesus is found right here in his house. He comes to us right here whenever his word is proclaimed. Right here in the sacrament of holy baptism to clothe us with his perfect righteousness, with his perfect record of keeping God's commandments. Right here in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion to give us the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of eternal life in heaven. Now, of course, he is always with you. That's what he promises at the end of St. Matthew's Gospel. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the world. He always knows where you are and what you're going through. He is always there to hear you when you pray to him. You know that. You don't have to search. You only have to believe his promises. Just take him at his word. And when you want to draw near to him, well, you know that we can always find him right here in his word and sacraments, coming to us with his gifts of salvation and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.